If there's any one sentence in the Christmas story that reminds me most about 2020, it would definitely be the first sentence. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. Swap out Caesar Augustus for government authorities, swap out census for lockdowns, and would read like this. In those days, government authorities issued a decree that a lockdown should be imposed on the entire world. That's what we've been living through in 2020. And it hasn't been easy. It's been disruptive at pretty much every level of life. And this decree from Caesar was pretty life-disrupting for Joseph and Mary as well. It meant for not only Joseph and Mary, but everybody in that part of the world, that they would have to go to their ancestral hometowns in order to register for this census. For Mary and Joseph, this meant a trip from Nazareth in the north all the way to Bethlehem in the south. It was a 90-mile trip on foot. There's no mention of a donkey for Mary to ride in this story. It's just as simply a trip that likely they had to take on foot. I remember when I was 19 years old. You know, we can say they were pretty young, that they'd be up for it. But I remember 19 years old, one day walking 30 miles in a single day. It was for a community fundraiser. And I'll never forget how tired and stiff and aching my muscles were at 20 miles and how desperately I wanted to quit, until a guy 40 years older than me walked past me and made me feel like a wimp if I gave up then. Mary and Joseph had to take this trip. My friend, Pastor Eric Wayman, who I've actually known since he was a young man, he wrote, "Can you imagine what an inconvenience that edict from Caesar Augustus must have been? Wait, what do you mean? Travel 90 miles to Bethlehem at the tail end of Mary's pregnancy? All because Caesar wants to know how big his empire is?" And then Pastor Wayman goes on to say, I'm sure they may have at least entertained some less than holy words in their thoughts for Caesar. And it's not like this was going to be a quick turnaround in Bethlehem either. Little did Joseph probably know when he set out from Nazareth for Bethlehem that it would be at least 3 or 4 years before he'd ever return to normal back in Nazareth. And just like this pandemic, we don't know how long it's going to last. We don't know when it's going to end. We don't know how much more our lives are going to be affected. But here's what I do know from the Christmas story. It's that our disruptions don't disrupt God. Because God is always up to something, no matter what is happening in our world, no matter how uncontrollable it may seem to us, God is always up to something. 2,000 years ago, he was up to finding a birthplace for his son. Because 700 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Micah, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, prophesied that the Messiah would be born in this no-name town of Bethlehem. It reads like this in Micah 5:2. "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, and whose origins," get this, "his origins will be from of old, from ancient times." What baby could ever be born whose origins are from ancient times? Born in Bethlehem, let at that. But the Son of God himself, God made flesh, Jesus Christ. And God was using the power of the Roman Empire to dislocate the citizens of the ancient world in order to relocate a no-name couple, Mary and Joseph, in the town of Bethlehem, so that in fulfillment of his word, the Son of God could be born. The hope of the world, the light of the world, born right there. You see, our disruptions don't disrupt God. He's always doing something. And I want to tell you, in our disruptions right now, in our lives, God's still up to something. And I think he's up to the same thing. He's still looking for a birthplace. God's preparing our hearts to be his birthplace for his son. God's preparing your heart and my heart to be a birthplace for God's son. Not physically, of course, but spiritually. Jesus says, when you come to me, it's being like born all over again inside. In fact, he was talking about this to a religious leader one day in John chapter 3 during his earthly ministry prior to his death and resurrection. And he said to this leader, he said, you know, flesh gives birth to flesh. That's what happened in the Christmas story. Mary gave birth to a real child. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. And so you should not be surprised, Jesus said, at my saying, you must be born again. New birth. You see, Jesus came in the flesh the first time 2,000 years ago so that his body could be taken to a cross and he could hang there. And the Bible says that our sin, our failure, our shame, everything that disqualifies us in the sight of a loving but a holy God, everything that is wrong about our lives, everything that is marred in our lives by evil was placed on his body. He died as a sacrifice for our sin. And then 3 days later, he rose again. And 2,000 years ago at Christmas, flesh gave birth to flesh. God took on a body to die for our sin. But he rose in resurrection power. And now his resurrection spirit, when we put our faith in Christ, can come into our lives and give us new birth from within. And so Jesus said, flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. That is why I say to you, you must be born again. Listen, God may be shaking heaven and earth in your life right now because he's trying to find a birthplace of his spirit, of Jesus' life born in you again. One of Jesus' closest followers was Peter. And in 1 Peter 1, a letter that Peter writes in our New Testament, in 1 Peter 1, verse 3, he said, it was through his loving kindness, God's loving kindness, that we were born again to a new life. And we, as a result, have hope that never dies. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for a hope that never dies in Christ. Thank you that because you were born in the flesh 2,000 years ago, you moved heaven and earth to get Mary and Joseph in the right place to fulfill your word, that in Bethlehem, that city of kings, my God, that your son would be born. Lord, thank you that you're still seeking a birthplace for your son in our hearts right now. So we say yes to you. We say no to our sin. Forgive us for all the God replacements. Forgive us for our rebellion against you, Lord. Forgive us for following the world's way rather than your way. We pray you wash us clean by the blood you shed on the cross when you died in the flesh. And we pray by your resurrection spirit, you will help us to be born again with new life in us. Life that gives us hope. We thank you and we praise you for doing this and loving us so much. In Jesus' name, amen.